Idea where you're supposed to turn in your Bibles this morning? If you could, please turn to Matthew chapter 25. Boy, last week, Brother Landingen was a blessing. Oh, my soul. What a blessing. Brother Marty Gannant was talking to me about Pepsi. You Pepsi drinkers. Watch. Yeah. Amen, brother. the cans. And I'm going to tell you, this is not the first time I've heard something along these lines. Pepsi, for some reason, always gets a little crazy with their cans. And I'm not saying that against Pepsi drinkers. I'm not making this a political statement. But on their cans, Brother Marty was telling me they got a picture of the Statue of Liberty. Boy, what a blessing. Praise the Lord. But then they've got the Pledge of Allegiance, and they took out One Nation Under God. Now, I'm not saying that's for sure, but that's what the scuttlebutt is. If it was me and that can was like that, I'm telling you, it wouldn't take anything more than that to get me to stop drinking that stuff. I'll tell you that right now. But that, I worry. And folks, let me tell you, and I don't think I have to, I'm not going to go into detail on this. This is more for the teenagers, because the older folks, I think you've got a handle on this. We better remain patriotic in this country. And I'm not talking about the patriotism that they want you to have. I'm talking about the patriotism that takes us back to our heritage, that takes us back to who bled and died for this country. I think we better have a grasp on that. I think we better know what December 7th, 1941 was. I think we need to know what those things were. I think we need to understand that our heritage is built on the blood of Americans. And we're losing that. We're losing that, allowing anybody to do anything and say anything that they want to say. We've got laws for a reason. And I'm all for freedom of speech. But I want my speech to be free too. In Massachusetts, and I'll get off this in a hurry, but in Massachusetts, they're trying to pass a law where nature has rights. That's the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your entire life. I think this is just a little too loud. Can you take this down just a little bit? They're trying to pass a law that nature has rights. That a tree cannot be cut down without its permission. Who do you ask for permit? There's not one tree that I know of that would say, yeah, go ahead. And if your trees are talking to you, there's different kind of laws that you need to be passing in Massachusetts. I'll tell you. Matthew chapter 25, praise the Lord. We're going to talk about what does it take to be a servant of the Lord? What does it take to be a servant of the Lord? Now, you must understand something. As we're going into this, I have always made it very clear, it is such an honor and privilege to serve the Lord. It is such an honor and privilege that one day we're going to see who we're serving. Oh, we may not see him now, but that's what faith is, okay? So understanding that it's such a privilege, an honor, to be able to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, what does it take to be a servant? And you would think, wow, it must take something very special. It does. It takes somebody, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, that realizes who they are, that realizes what they are, realizes what they're capable of, and realize who helps them along the way. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 25, the Lord is speaking here a parable, and he's talking about something that this man, let's start in verse 13, first of all. Verse 13, the Bible says, "Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, if you're thinking about why should I be a servant? Well, first of all, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's reasonable for you to desire to serve the Lord. It's reasonable. It's not a thought that I got to look for a reason, okay? It's reasonable, here's your reason, it's reasonable for you to serve the Lord because of what he's done for you. If he's done nothing else but dying on the cross and shedding his blood and making a way for us to get to heaven someday, isn't that enough? But he's gone way further than that. He's made us a place, streets of gold. He takes care of us while we're here. He gives us a job right now. I mean, good Lord, have mercy. God is so good to us. It's reasonable for us to want to serve him. Amen? Reasonable. Okay. Now, if you look at this, watch therefore. And if you're watching, his coming is very close. Watch therefore. Because we're willing to sweat and work and toil to save a whale, but we can't wait to have abortions. We can't wait to give a tree rights, but the unborn child has no rights. Somebody help me this morning. Cut down that maple tree, you're going to jail for life. Life for a life. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. He is coming. That's what that tells you. He is coming. And when he comes home, comes to get us and take us home, I want to make sure I'm ready. I want to make sure that I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? For the kingdom of heaven, here's the parable, is as a man traveling into a far country. And by the way, Jesus certainly did travel into a far country, amen. I mean, good night. Him coming here is ridiculous. Leaving the splendors of heaven to come down here to this putrescent earth is amazing in and of itself. Knowing how it was going to end for himself is even more amazing still. Amen? As a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved this morning? Oh, amen. I'm saved too. Woo-hoo! Man, I'm saved. I am so saved, it's unbelievable. Listen, you think, well, that's a dumb statement. The more I walk around this earth, the more I realize I'm really saved. I'm not Joel Osteen saved. I'm not a Catholic saved. I'm Baptist saved. I'm saved. Glory to God, I'm saved. I'm so thankful I'm not part of this crazy world. Amen. And it's getting crazier all the time. What's great is, folks, you don't have to be part of it. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Get out of the world. Woo! Glory to God, it's crazy out there. All the stuff going on, all the craziness that's out there, good Lord, I just had a meeting with a teenager. He was doing drugs on the school bus on the way to school. Guess what seat he was sitting in the bus? Can you believe that? Three rows behind the driver. Brother Danny, can I ask you a question? If there's something going on in three rows behind you, will you know it? Brother Freddie, when you're driving a bus three rows back, will you know it? Three rows back, a child took 48 cold pills. Are you telling me that the bus driver was unaware? The only way you're unaware is if you're driving like this. Did you ever see the mirror that's in the bus? Yeah, I'm thinking he's going to tell me I was in the back seat. No, I was three rows back. I'm going to tell you right now, this world is gone crazy. This world, and it's nothing new. I mean, people have been finding out new ways to get themselves doped up for years. This is nothing brand new. But what saddens my heart is this. I've got people that know the Lord Jesus Christ are still getting into that craziness. I've got people that know the Lord Jesus Christ and are still going to the world. We've got to be very careful in this world to understand that what does it take to be a servant? Well, you've got to be saved. And I'm so excited that we are saved in here. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, what in the world are you waiting on? I'll never understand. I'll never grab a hold of that. You go out on soul winning and people say, no, I don't want any of that. Are you kidding me? I don't want any of what? Heaven? I don't want to stop drinking my alcohol. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to stop drinking your alcohol. It said get saved. You say, well, I can drink alcohol. That's not what I'm saying to you, but I'm saying alcohol has nothing to do with salvation. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that this world continues to walk around unsaved. It's even more amazing as we have people that continue to walk around not telling anybody. I'm one of them. I'm a Baptist preacher, and I don't witness like I should. Somebody help me in here this morning now. Now, as we go through this, traveling in a far country, who called his own servants. Did he call anybody else's servants? Who are his servants? His saved people. Is that not true? What does it take to be a servant? You've got to be saved. You've got to be saved. Oh, that's really hard, isn't it? I'm always profound. You know that. If you're not saved, you're none of his. But if you are saved, you're a servant. There is no in between. You say, I'm too old. You better teach us young kids. Us young kids are stupid. You better teach us how to serve the Lord. You better teach us what you know. You better take that wisdom that's in you. Listen, I was just telling a preacher the other day. He takes counsel, and he was talking about these myriads of people he takes counsel from. There's nothing wrong with that. But I told him, listen to me. I take my counsel from the people that have gray hairs. Like it or lump it, I go to the old folks. I want to know what they know. I want to know what they've seen. I'm not going to go to a colleague that's my same age and say, hey, I need my advice and counsel from you. Oh, I may go to people like that, but let me tell you something. I'm going to stop off and see Brother Carl first. You better believe I am. I'm going to stop off and see people that are aged, that know things, that there's wisdom there. The Bible even says there's wisdom in the gray-headed. When in the world are our kids going to learn that instead of shoving the old people out the door, we should be inviting them in? What does it take to be a servant? Old folks, you're not out of it. You should be some of our greatest servants. Teaching the younger generation. Teaching us. Why are we falling apart? Because us younger generations, and my generation is one of the worst. I'm first and foremost, I'll tell you. Our generation, if you can't run a computer, you must be dumb. Our generation, old people are just frail and no good. Old people, they're just old fuddy-duddies. I would to God we had a whole world full of fuddy-duddies. Because this crazy world that we're in right now needs more old folks in it. It needs more old folks being willing to stand up and say what's right and wrong, because you know, you lived through the Depression. You lived through these hard times. You lived through Pearl Harbor. You lived through the World War II. You lived during those times. And these kids today have no idea. They can't even count back change. You think I'm laughing? I went to Montney's, and there's an old man that runs the register at Montney's. You all know who it is, I guarantee you. Ever been to Montney's? That man has been a fixture at that place. I think Jesus hired him. You know what? He didn't even ring my order into the register. He wrote it on a piece of paper. Knew the tax in his head. You ask a kid today, figure out the tax. What? Then I give him a 20 without a thought. Counts that might change to me. And I'm impressed because I'm used to going to a place with kids that'll look at the register 72 times to make sure the number's right. And if the power ever goes out, you might as well stay home. You're not buying anything. Unless you want to get shortchanged, unless you don't want it to work out right. Why? Because the kids today are relying on things that they ought not be relying on for their intelligence.
That's right.
A lot of kids get mad at me at BBCA. Of course, that happens every day. I won't allow them to do their math test with a calculator until they've already done it on paper. And BBCA says, or I'm sorry, Abeka says, they may use a calculator for this exercise. Not if I'm there. I never got a calculator. I remember kids getting expelled. Remember those wristwatch calculators? I don't know how I got off on this. Remember those? I saw kids get expelled for going on their wristwatch calculators. And I'm telling the kids in business math and consumer math, you're not allowed to use your calculator until the very end, figuring out percentages and figuring out to the nearest fourth place. And these kids say, you're mean. But when you get out, you'll be able to do long division. When you get out, you'll be able to add. We need the wisdom from the folks that didn't use calculators. We need wisdom of people that know how to write it on paper and do columnar adding. You'd think that would be, really, preacher, adding? I double dog diggly ding dong dare you to ask your grandkids to columnar add. Give them 6-8 things right in a row and tell them to add it. You'll be impressed. To be a servant of the Lord, you've got to be saved. As we go on. He called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. Now, I know I'm moving slow on this, but it's all right. Can I ask you a question? Whose goods are we using? This is good stuff. What does it take to be a servant of the Lord? You must be saved. You must come to the realization that you're stewards. You are stewards. What's a steward? A steward is somebody that uses somebody else's stuff. And you, whether you're a good or bad steward, is where it lies. What did the Lord give you? And I know I went over some of this 2 weeks ago. I'm glad Brother Dingen was here to put a break in between. I wanted to tell you, I understand that not everybody has the same talent. Not everybody has the same abilities. Amen? Not everybody has the same they can do this or they can do. That's why there's lots of different types of preachers, lots of different types of singers, lots of different types. What is your talent? I'll give you a good example. Brother Danny, don't get mad at me. Brother Danny has a great talent to work on buses. Guess what I don't have? A great talent to work on buses. He puts me underneath the bus, we're going to never pass inspection. But he does. So what does he do with his talent? He was out here all day yesterday working on the bus. That's using his talent for the Lord. That's being a good steward. Amen? It's being a good steward. Brother Mike Sells, he never talked to a stranger in his entire life. You're with him. It's unbelievable. I sat in a hospital waiting room. He made his way around to talk to just about everybody in that place before it was over. You'd think I'd have that talent. I don't have it like he does. Don't have that talent. But he does. So what did he do with that talent? He uses it for the Lord. He's a steward of the talent that God gave you. Now understand this. I am not Brother Sells. I don't have to be Brother Sells. Now you need to hear this now. A lot of preachers think that if they're not Dr. Hiles, they're unsuccessful. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Are you telling me that the man that sat down in West Virginia and pastored 25 people for 50 years is unsuccessful? That's the dumbest thing. That's stupid. But these men get all caught up in the fact, and listen, I want to run numbers. Please don't misread me. Oh, if we had 1,000 in here, I'd be excited. But I'm not him. I'm not that person. I am Brother Dave, and there's only one, and I know you're glad. I preach the way I preach. The Lord preaches, I preach. This is what God's given me. I don't want to be like Pastor Skiver. There'd be worse things in the whole wide world, but I'm not him. He's him. And he did a great job and is doing a great job with what God has given him as a steward. Amen?
Amen.
Now, yes, you will be a culmination of the people around you. You will. You can't help it. You get around somebody long enough, you're going to take some of their traits, some of their attributes. That's okay. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to aspire to be Dr. Jack Hiles. I'm going to aspire to be the best Dave Ballard that I can be for the Lord. And I'm not right now. I'm not there. I hope you are. I'm not there. I got a long ways to go with the stewardship of what God has given me. Amen? So, and I'll tell you what this does away with is competition. It's hilarious to me, Brother Carl, that people make serving the Lord a competition. Well, if you don't lead 65,000 people to Christ next week, you're a failure. That's what gives you false numbers. Stay with me now. Every college you ever go to, I promise you, every college, Christian college, take them. Christian, pick the best ones. I don't care what you pick. They lie on their numbers. What happens is this. They turn stewardship into a campaign. They turn stewardship into a contest. I am for door-to-door soul winning. I am for knocking on doors. I am for witnessing to people. I am. But Brother Jordan, I'm not going to come to you and say I won 7 to the Lord last week if I didn't. And that's why, I don't know if you noticed, but when we go out soul winning, I don't tell you who led people to Christ. Have I ever done that? Well, Brother Coolidge led 4 to Christ. No, he didn't. He used the stewardship of his talent. The Lord led them to Christ. And let me tell you something. We as a group are responsible for that stewardship. We as a group. Hey, listen, if Bethel didn't have the lights on, he couldn't go out. So guess what? If you gave money and the light stayed on and he got preached to and he went out soul winning and he led somebody to Christ, you're responsible as well. Now, that doesn't mean you can sit on the couch and just say, well, go get him, Coolidge. But every one of us has a several ability to win somebody to the Lord. You're using whose ability? God gave you an ability. You've got to use the ability that God gave you. He dispersed unto them his goods. We've got the goods. Amen? The goods have been given to us. The goods have been supplied to us through the Word of God. We have got the ability, and by the way, the Holy Ghost, what we just talked about for like a year, the Holy Ghost goes with you. The Holy Ghost will help you to do what God wants you to do. What are you doing with the goods that He's given you? Now, you got to be saved to be a servant of the Lord. You've got to be stewards to be a servant of the Lord. Now look at this. And unto one, he gave 5 talents. We're going to do some math. I was setting you up earlier. I'm counting on you older folks to help. 5 talents. That's a 5. 5 talents. Look at this. To another, how many? 2 talents. He gave 2 talents. To another, every man according to his several ability, look at this now, and to another one talent. We got 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Now, as it says this, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. Now, that's great. You know why? Because the Lord, what he's given me, is not asking me to be the same as him. Did he ask that? Because here, a man's several ability. What are you able to do? Isn't it great that God won't give you something you're unable to do? Don't come to me and say, I can't. That's not what God says. He's given you an ability. Every man has been given an ability. Every woman has been given an ability that Christ has given you. It's His ability through you. Man, that to me is very, very humbling. God has given you an ability. He's given you a several ability. He didn't ask you, Brother Meyer, to have the same ability as Brother Dave Ballard. Praise the Lord. I'm 2. He's 5. Here's the thing. When it says 5, 2, and 1, don't be concerned about the number that you are. I'll show you why. If you look at these numbers here, 5, 2, and 1, you're thinking, well, I'm a 2 talent. I'm kind of between, maybe I'm a 3.5 talent. God hasn't given me as much, so I don't have to give as much. Be very careful. Look what this says now. And straightway, he took his journey. He's gone to prepare a place for us. Amen? Look at this. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them, how much? How many? Okay. So he took this 5, added 5, that equals 10. Woo! 10! He's 10 talents. Are you kidding me? Wow. Look at this. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained how many? 2. What's 2 plus 2? Thank you. Nobody had their calculator out, did they? Now, wait. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He uses money here, but you know what he's talking about. I'll just give you a good example. Let's say you have a voice to sing, but you won't sing. I'm just using that as an example. You got a voice to sing, but you won't sing. Don't be surprised if the Lord takes that talent from you, because he's got somebody else that will sing. Let's say you've got the gift to gab, ladies. And I'm just kidding. Believe me, the men have a gift of gab too. Let's say you've got the gift of gab. You can talk to people. You can use that talent that you've got to talk to people. You're not afraid of people. You don't have that hermit type attitude where you can't speak to someone. Yet you don't. Or you don't use the Lord's talent. You use your talent for knowing what box scores are. You use your talent for knowing what the Indians game is, but you won't know about the game of life called Jesus Christ. You won't talk about that. The Lord may take that from you. Now, he takes this talent, this one, and the Lord gave him this one talent. He gave him one thing. So all he's asking him to do is this one. He takes it and does what with it? He added nothing. He did nothing with his talent. I know people that have more talent in their little pinky than I have in the entirety of my being. And they don't use it for the Lord. I don't have a lot of talent, but what I do have, I want to give everything to Him. And I fall short of that. But what I have, I want to give to Him. Now, I want you to see something very interesting. I want you to see something very interesting. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. And He is coming. I hope you know that Christ is coming. I know that's where we started, but I hope you know that Christ is coming. Let me explain something to you. It's not far off. As I was a little boy, the most feared thing I had is I had a bad day at school or a bad day at home, was disobedient. What's the one thing I didn't want to happen? Dad come home. Because I know I'd hear it. My dad was a meek and mild guy, but when he got hot, look out. He was one of those long, long wicks. But you know what the problem with a long, long wick is? The longer the wick, the bigger the boom. Short wick, pow, it's all over. Not with my dad. Long wick. But at the end, judgment day had come around. And I feared that. I didn't want him to come home. Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming, and I wonder if he's going to come back on a Saturday.
Why did you say Saturday? I don't understand that. It's Saturday.
We have soul winning on Saturday. Talking about servants now. I wonder if he's going to come back on a Saturday. I wonder if he's going to come back on a Wednesday night. I'd be very surprised if he came back on a Sunday. Too easy to come on a Sunday morning. I wonder if you're going to be about the Father's business when he comes. I wonder. Get mad at me all you want to. I get mad at me. I'll get mad at me. Hey, Brother Dave, I'm mad at you. Why? Because there's times I'm not serving him. There's times, and if he would come back at that moment, good night, what would I say? What would I say as I had a track in my pocket, getting ready to pass it out and didn't, and then the Lord come back? Huh? You should always have these on you, by the way. And I'm going to tell you, and by the way, that's a good-looking fellow on there. I'm going to tell you, if the Lord is coming back very soon, and if you want the baptismal waters to stir, you better start telling somebody about him. If you want somebody to get saved, you better tell them about him. And if you can't tell them about him, tell them about how wonderful our pastor is. Tell them about how wonderful our church is. We got the greatest church in the whole wide world. We should be telling people about how wonderful it is here to know Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm speaking to myself. Don't you think I'm yelling at you. I'm speaking to me because I don't do it enough. Look at this now. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. So what did he do? What's the increase here? Give me a percent. 100%. Equals 100% increase. Praise the Lord. Could you imagine 100% increase of the stewardship that God has given us? Oh, my soul. We wouldn't have any dead spots in these pews. No way. Not if we gave him 100%. Look at this now. Wait now. I can only require the preacher to give 100%. Very careful. The deacons, they ought to give 100%. The people in the choir, they ought to give 100%, not me. Uh-huh. Let's look at this. I'm more of a 2-talent guy. Let's see what it says about a 2-talent guy. And his Lord said unto him, well done. That's a 5-talent guy, 100%. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Man, that's going to be great. And by the way, I don't know that that means heaven. Enter. If you serve God, just guess what you're going to find on the other side? You're going to find joy. And you're going to find the joy of the Lord. Do you know why you're upset all the time? You haven't led somebody to Christ in so long, you wouldn't remember how to do it. Oh boy, the amen shut down there, preacher. If you haven't shared Christ with somebody, that's why we're so upset all the time. We don't want to go to church because we're not bringing somebody new. We're not excited about Bethel anymore because we're not bringing somebody new. God's given you a talent. He's given you a talent. He's given you a talent. What are you going to do with it? Dig up that talent that God has given you and use it. Ooh, boy, they shut down. Preacher, I struck a chord, and it was not a good one. Look at this now. I'm preaching to me. This is why my Sunday school shuts down, because I want people to work. This is why people don't come. Because serving the Lord is not a spectator sport. You can't stand up here and wait for him to do it. You can't stand up here and wait for me to do it. You can't stand up here and wait for Coolidge or Mike Sells or Dan. You can't wait for somebody else to use your talent. Here we go. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Brother Mike, we say that all the time. Can I ask you a question? What's the increase? Oh, man, that's good stuff, preacher. It's starting to make sense now. Did he have 10 talents? Did he have 10? No. He had 4. 4 is less than half of what the 10 guy had. Is that right? Less than half. I think that he had 60% less to give to the Lord, if I did my math right there. 60% less. Look at what it says, though. I want you to compare. I tell you what. You look, I want you to look in the verse 21. You look at verse 21. I will read verse 23. Are you ready? 23 is speaking about the man with two talents. 21 is speaking about the man with five talents. Is that not correct? Amen. Now I want you to look. You read 21, I'll read 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Let me ask you a question. Is that different? One word. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord looked down on that man and said, well done. What does it take to be a servant of the Lord? To use what you have. You don't look at me and say, I can't do what you do. That's a cop-out. Because God didn't ask the man with two to make him 10. Did I misread that? Did I misrepresent this in any way? He did not ask the man with two to make 10. Did not. He asked the man with two to give what he had. And what he had, 100% himself. He's not asking you to be 100% of Jordan Jones. He's asking you to be 100% of you. What he gave you. Now listen. To do this, you got to be saved, you got to be stewards. I'll get to the one guy here in a minute. You have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, now listen. To do this, you got to come to an understanding. And I say this all the time. I don't believe God ever saved somebody to sit. I don't believe God ever saved somebody to not do something for him. You say, well, I can't walk. Well, you can write a letter. You say, I can't walk. You can call on the phone. There's some talents that ladies have that are unbelievable, and one of them is talking on that phone. Hey, whatever. Say what you want. God's given you a talent to do something for him. Have you ever thought about teaching a Sunday school class? Sure, ever since I've been in yours. Huh? I'm going to encourage you. I'll tell you why. Because God's not done with you yet. Are you breathing? I think everybody's in here is breathing. It better be breathing. I got a defibrillator. I'm waiting to use it, I'm telling you right now. Let me ask you a question. Have you served the Lord long enough? Have you put in your time? This ain't the army where you serve your 20 and you're out, or serve your 150 and you're out. That's not what it is. Listen, he may be retired from the Navy, but he's not done serving the Lord. Brother Carl, and I'm going to tell you, I am one, I look at faithfulness. I don't look at production. I'm weird that way. I don't look at production. I look at faithfulness. I look at faithfulness because I often wonder, what does it take to have Brother Carl? I don't know. I believe, what did Jesus look like? Because I think Brother Carl saw him. I'm just kidding. You've served the Lord way longer than I've been alive. Brother Larry, Brother Dan, you've been in the bus ministry almost as long as I've been alive. Is that not true, Brother Larry? What's it, 40 years now? I don't know where you're at. You're like, huh? 45 years. 45. Do you want to see what I get excited about? I get excited about a man that's been in the ministry for 45 years using the talent and the wonder that he, what talent did he have? Oh my goodness, Brother Dave, what talent did he have? He had a wonderful talent to know how to handle children, to love children, to have the ability to ride on that bus and not get sick from the noxious fumes. He had a wonderful talent and he used it for 45 years. You want to talk about faithfulness? That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about being a good steward. The bus workers get here long before you do. The bus workers get home way after you've already eaten your lunch. I want to see somebody that will serve Christ faithfully without their eyes on Him, without their eyes on me, without their eyes on you, with their eyes on Him. Let's talk about those numbers. Let's talk about 45 years. Let's talk about that number. Let's talk about the number that Brother Bob Bevington has, the number that Grandma Sue Vance has. Good Lord, Grandma Sue Vance has lived two lifetimes compared to mine. And I'm going to tell you right now, when the Lord comes back and looks at Brother Larry, and Brother Larry shows him, you gave me 10 talents, Lord, and I've given you 10 talents more, he's going to look down at Brother Larry and say, well done! What does it take to be a servant of the Lord? What does it take? He's not asking you to do something you cannot do. When I read you about the 5 and 5 got 10, that's 100%. When I read you about the 2 and 2 equals 4, it's 100%. And all he did was double himself. All he did was taking what the Lord had given him. He doesn't give everybody the same. Quit. Yeah, here's the thing. In the world, we're taught that everybody is equal. You're created equal. What you do with your life after that's up to you. In the wonderful words of Dr. Martin Luther King, I can't wait for the day when men are judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Fine. But I want to be judged on the content of my character. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now, I want to know who in the world thinks that they can't do what God's asked them to do. I want to know. The devil tells you you can't. The devil tells you, Brother Brian, you're not a success because you're not getting 50 people up here saved. That's what the devil will try to tell you. You're a failure because you haven't done this. And preachers all over the country are losing their ministries because they don't measure up to the pastor down the street. We're not supposed to measure up to the pastor down the street. We're supposed to measure up to what God has given us. And you say, well, Brother Dave, you only run a Sunday school class of 50 people. Most of our good preachers run Sunday school classes of much greater. I don't look at what I'm doing here as a failure. I don't care if I'm left with just my family here. Believe me, my wife will walk out on me long before you will. She can't walk out on me. She's the one that does my lesson. But anyway, if you look at this comparison, these two are both entered into the joy of the Lord. Right? Now, let's look at the last one. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one. But let me ask you a question. Did anybody receive none? So you can't use that excuse on me either. I've got no talent. You liar. You got a great talent for lying. Because the Lord gave everybody something. That's what I said to you before. You didn't get saved for nothing. Amen? Why would Christ save somebody that couldn't do anything for him? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You say, well, he just saved us because he loved us. That's absolutely true. He loves you, and then he wants you to do something about it. Listen, I love my children. Do you think I'm more impressed with them when they clean their room or less impressed with them when they... Do you think I'm impressed with them when they don't clean their room? Huh? That's why I got married. I don't have to clean my room anymore. No, praise the Lord. I'm impressed with my children when they do right. Amen? And so are you. Don't you think it's the same way with the Lord? He's impressed with you when you do right? The difference about the Lord is He knows what's coming. Look at the one talent. He that received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. You gave me something, Lord. I don't want it. You gave me something, Lord. I'm just going to give it right back to you. How many people do you know that used to serve the Lord? How many people do you know to this day do not serve him? For several years after I got saved at 11 years old, I was the one talent boy. The Lord, I was saved. The Lord gave me some talent to use for him, and I didn't do it for years. Didn't want to serve the Lord because I was afraid. I was afraid that it might change my life. I was afraid that I might have to get up early in the morning. I was afraid to tell people that I was saved. We can read on here in a minute, but I guarantee you know what's coming. Don't think that the Lord is going to be pleased with you if you take what he's given you and you hide it in the ground. You're saved, but the Lord's not going to be pleased with you if you're not serving him. He's not. He's worth it. I'm telling you, you don't have to give more than what he's given you. You've got to give 100% of what you've got, though. He wants 100% of what you've got. He doesn't want 100% of what I've got for you. He wants 100% of what you've got for him. That's what he wants. What does it take to be a servant? You got to be saved. I hope and pray you're saved today. You've got to be steward of what he's given you, and you've got to be willing to sacrifice and give it right back to him. And you can double what he's, all he's asking is 100% of what you have. What a great God we have. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you never ask us for more than what we're able. Lord, you just ask us what we are able to do, we do it. Lord God, please be with us. Oh God, I'm begging you to be with my pastor. I'm begging you to heal him up. Lord, we need him. He's got to be healthy. God, please be with him and make it so he can get back in his pulpit real soon. And oh God, please, please, Lord, be with our people. Let them know that it's truly great to serve you. And Lord, please, even in my life, Lord, I need to serve you more. Lord, you've got to stay on me, God. Don't give up on me, Lord. Stay on me about serving you, Lord, so I can give you more of what you've given me. Oh, God, please, turn this church upside down for you and let them know how wonderful you are, because you are not a hard man. You are a wonderful Savior. And Lord, please be with us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.